Disclaimer that this podcast contains discussion of sexual harassment and abuse.
Hello everyone. We are three BPSOC DDP PhD students at the University of Nottingham. And today we're here to discuss the gender equity within universities as part of the Unified project. Unified is a project led by postgraduate PhD student in collaboration with Freedom Foundation, which aims to increase equality, diversity, and inclusivity within the university settings. We're here to raise awareness of all those issues. This podcast is a result of the first think tank we held, and there will be more think tanks touching the racial equity, LGBTQ+, neurodiversity, and other topics. So to start with our gender equity theme, as a general overview of what is happening in terms of inequality worldwide, according to the World Economic Forum, the prediction that the gender equity gap closed in 135 years worldwide sounds a bit shocking. And here we will start with talking about several issues that we had undergraduate students sharing their experiences with us, with some examples being misogyny in sports societies, people feeling unsafe when walking around the campus at night due to the lack of street lighting. People feel that there is a lack of awareness of what actually constitutes a sexual assault, and several other issues. What would you think about that, Anastasia?
So during the think tank, we all brought like different examples. People had a lot of things to share when it came to personal experiences with, you know, sexual harassment and just generally feeling intimidated. And one specific point was misogyny being rugby lad culture. But I think it really stems from something much more deeper than that, because, you know, for example, I don't come from the UK. I come from Cyprus, which is in the Mediterranean. So things like street harassment are not really spoken as widely. They're not really taken as seriously. So ever since you're like 10 years old, you experience that on a daily basis so much that you become desensitized to it. So when I came to the UK and people started talking about how wrong that is, I was like, is it wrong? Because I never even thought about how much it just became part of my routine, just like being afraid of being followed on the street and just being like, oh, I better take another turn to make sure this man is not following me, or, you know, being stalked in the car. And, you know, it just, oh, you have to adjust yourself and, you know, not go out past like 6 p.m. and stuff. And you never really think about that until you come to a country like, you know, the United Kingdom, and you're like, oh, this is really wrong. Like, this actually means sexual assault, or this is sexual harassment, you know? And that just like tells you that it really depends where you are, how much responsibility people want to take for it.
This links to another issue that we had shared from undergraduate students, some issues in nightclubs like spiking. And it feels like we're adapting to it rather than mitigating it. And several people feel like nothing gets done. What do you think about that, Mercedes?
Yeah, thank you, Putini. Yeah, I think that's a really important problem to talk about, because like we cannot be safe by being outside, and the blame is going to us as women. We have to be more careful. We have to be protective of ourselves. And that's not the thing to do, right? What we have to do is to educate everybody to like mitigate these kind of issues by doing something else, like by promoting some programs to educate people of the things that you are doing are not okay. If a person doesn't want to kiss you, talk to you, dance with you, whatever the thing you want to do, it's okay to say no. It's okay to just negate whatever you don't want to do. Like, you don't have to agree with the people that are harassing you.
Yes, both sides need to learn what consent means.
Exactly, totally agree.
So we're going to go to our next topic, which is in general in the academic society, how the gender equity is experienced. Where are we at the academia? We've had some experiences on the treatment of academics in the workplace based on gender. What do you think? Have you got any experience about this, Anastasia?
I wouldn't talk about like particular experiences, But all I know is that, you know, these rules, like you see the trams with, you know, consent and everything. And you seem to think that like people really, you know, think that's unacceptable and everyone's going to take your side. But once it actually happens, no one does take the woman's side. Everyone takes the side of the man with more power, because, you know, especially if they're white and if they're British and you are like, as a victim, you're not even from this country and you're a woman, you got like less power than them. And everyone's going to be blaming you, including other women, which is very surprising, because actually there's like a statistic that 80% of women in the workplace are bullied by other women. It's not men. So like, I feel like we also should take responsibility as women to support each other. Like if you see someone in distress and don't automatically assume that they're the ones at fault, like we don't bring it upon ourselves, these experiences. It's always perpetrated by someone who is in more power and who thinks that's, you know, acceptable to take advantage of people. You know, personally, I've experienced much more women on women bullying than anything else. So I think it's just internalized. There's a concept called internalized misogyny, that you're automatically, you see a woman as a competition and you don't feel like, you know, you always see another woman as, you know, a potential kind of rival that is going to steal your mate. And I feel like we really need to shift that mentality, because I really think that's what's holding us back, that we all need to combine our efforts as women and really, you know, fight the real problem, which is misogyny.
Yeah, totally agree. And also it goes with the comment that you made in the first scenario that Fotini brought up, that it's like whenever we are educated in another perspective, we are having so many ideas that perpetuate these kind of behaviors. And we don't really realize about this until we leave it ourselves. So we have to be more open to these kind of situations, be more respectful to the people that have been past these kind of things, and listen to them, believe in them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we need to listen to as many voices as possible, because normally you think that this will not happen to me, this will not happen like to high profile people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the statistics on like women in hierarchy are shocking, and still like worldwide women in STEM disciplines is like less than 30%. In high hierarchy. So one of the actions that the student union have been taking, because obviously nothing will change overnight and we all need to take small steps to reach a better place, they've got banners say the logo, if it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't.
Yeah, I think these kind of messages are really important for everybody, because it teaches you that you have to listen to yourself. If you don't feel that the thing that is happening right now, even if everybody says that it's okay, if you feel that it's not okay, then it's better to not do it. Even if the other person has higher authority over you, even if the other person is a friend, a partner, whatever this person is, if you don't feel okay, it's better not to do it.
And also going back to the whole women in academia and why there's so many, you said there were only 30% of women in academia. And we noticed that, you know, especially in this day and age, we're bringing all these efforts to, you know, encourage girls to pursue positions in STEM, and to, you know, it all starts from A-levels, you know, apply for triple sciences, then apply for uni, and then, you know, take up this postdoc position or whatever. And but then we see this trend, it's been described as the leaky pipeline. We put so much effort into getting women into academia, and then we see this trend of women leaving academia. And some people may argue, you know, they have like, you know, the typical argument is, you know, pregnancy and, know, taking like leaving to support family, but actually women are being harassed out of it, because, you know, there's so many experiences, like even academic conferences, like sexual assault happening, and no one protects women from this things happening. And in general, like doctoral students are quite vulnerable to anything, because they're, you know, it's all dependent on advisor, or, you know, the panel of advisors who can just like throw them out, basically. So you are basically powerless. So I really think people in charge should take initiative to provide more protective measures to take care of not just women, but just like doctoral students as a whole that are enrolled on these courses?
Yeah, it's all about communities need to strengthen themselves, need to get all the voices heard.
Coming back to the point that you said about women not being taken into account in like higher hierarchy jobs, study has shown that managers evaluating an employee randomly assigned as male versus a female made more competent and advising salaries than the women peers. Both of them had like similar characteristics in their curriculum. However, the men were offered a higher salary than women. And we have to ask ourselves, why is that? If they both have like the same characteristics and the skills that the job asks for, it's something else. It's something that is inside of our behavior that is making us believe more that the men can do the job over than a woman.
Yeah, and we've got numerous reports of women being interviewed and being asked questions that they shouldn't, as in, have you got a family? Are you planning to have a family soon? This goes down to inequality of when the employer will think that the woman will more likely for her to leave her job to look after kids, after ill kids, rather than a man, which is wrong and it has to stop.
Yeah, and I think it was really highlighted during the pandemic, where both men and women had to work from home. However, all the responsibility from the home, the childcare, the cleaning of the house, cooking, was mostly done by women, even though that they had the same amount of work as the men.
Yes, exactly. To this point, we've got some statistics saying that in the UK, women do an average of 26 hours of unpaid care work a week compared to 16 hours for men. And this was updated after COVID, which the difference is still high. We know they're taking some steps and this doesn't apply to everyone, but there's still a lot of way to go in a better place.
Yeah, this just reminded me that when we had our work experience during like year five, when we're just like, you know, we've chosen our A-levels and everything. And because, you know, I've chosen the traditional chemistry, bio, math, I obviously went to have like work experience at a hospital. And we had about maybe two guys and the rest, like, I think eight people were all girls who went into this hospital to shadow doctors and everything. And we literally had like, that was all in Cyprus. We had the main director of the hospital separate the girls from the boys to have like separate conversations. And the girls were basically told like, don't pursue medicine. You have to, you know, it's going to like derail your entire like purpose as a female is to have like babies. And I was just standing there like, this does not sound right. And that was during like the most kind of pivotal moment of our lives, like when we have to basically choose the trajectory of our entire lives. Like, you know, you choose your A-levels and then that's what makes you decide which uni you want to go to, which course to pursue. And also that was all in the same week that happened. I remember I was shadowing this gynecologist with my friend, and he was like being really creepy as well. He was like in his 60s. So immediately that was, you know, sexual harassment. He was like, you know, placing his hand on my friend's back, smaller back, and just being, you know, really creepy. And he was like, what are you girls doing, like pursuing medicine? You should be models. Like, you shouldn't be pursuing medicine. And it was just such, I remember just being taken like so aback, because I was like, is that all we are? Are we just like, you know, I mean, I'm not saying modeling is not like a good job, but it's like, immediately I realized like, I'm not going to
specialize in women.
Exactly. Just because of, you know, the way we present ourselves, or because they see us as women, they think we're not capable of, you know, pursuing jobs that require intelligence, or that, you know, we just have to like pose and, you know, be models and dolls. And that's obviously, that goes back to just thinking that women are objects.
Yeah, totally. Like, you have all your value was just because of how you look like, not because of how you are, how you think like.
It's like, you know how people talk about imposter syndrome, like affecting people in academia, like, oh, I have imposter syndrome. Like, but think of like objectification is like imposter syndrome, but your entire life, you doubt your entire life that you've achieved things, and you start thinking it's only because of the way I look or want something from me. And you start thinking, like, doubting your friendships, everything, your relationships. Did they actually like me as a person, or do they think of me as an object? And that's just society as a whole. And it's going to, like Putini said, it's going to take so many years for that to change, because it's a whole shift, you know, deciding overnight that that's wrong. And that's it. It's just every single person has to make that change, basically.
And I think every single person needs to act, like, because it's okay to listen and like disapprove and disagree and whatever. But if you just keep it for your own, you can't influence more people in towards the right direction unless you do something, you talk about it, you bring it like widely. Because despite the fact that many people are trying, still there are people who just think, yes, this is not right, but they may pursue like sexism or racism or whatever without, like, unintentionally. Even like a small comment might be harassment, might be offensive for another person. And unless you know and you're educated that this is wrong, you can't change it.
Yeah, but also we are like the very small minority to have the privilege to worry about such things, because, you know, there's still women that are sold into, you know, basically married off to like child marriages and everything. And, you know, genital mutilation as well, that's still in many countries, that's still the norm, or female slave, well, sex trafficking and everything. I think, you know, obviously what we're talking about is very important, but we are like the 1% of the developed, well, world that, you know, in most parts of the world, women don't even have the right to go out without their husbands.
Exactly. And like all around the world, women are just murdered because of their gender and because they didn't obey to a partner, brother, or whatever. And yet 49 countries, they've got no laws that specifically protect women from such violence. In some more stats on gender-based violence, and they're more common than you think. In the European Union, since the age of 15, 1 in 3 women has experienced physical and or sexual violence. 1 in 2 women has experienced sexual harassment. 1 in 20 women has been raped. 1 in 5 women has experienced stalking. And 90% of victims trafficked for sexual exploitation in the EU are women. And this is only EU statistics. If we went like Asia or Africa or USA or like America, North and South America, it would be even more shocking as a whole, the statistics.
Yeah, that is really shocking, because you definitely do not think that they're that high. And that literally, if you said 1 in 20 women were raped, if you imagine, it's like, if an auditorium is like 200 people, then that's like, you could literally point out the people, like statistically, you can, you know, envision that, and how prominent this problem is. Really, I think we are taking initiative into like the wrong direction. Because, you know, I remember just walking down the street and seeing the whole trams, like, do you know what consent is and all that? But in reality, when you try to report that, I mean, I'm not discouraging anyone, but it's very difficult to, you know, have people to be on your side as well. And it feels like, you know, it's just people waving flags around, you know, saying, don't do that, raise awareness. But in reality, it's like, you know, it must be made more effective in terms of and just listening, believing the victims.
Exactly. I totally understand your point, but I think it's really important to create these kind of spaces for us to talk about these issues, because the more we create awareness, the more we can create a movement and we can create a change. Because things cannot really change from a day. They need to have these kind of movements, a shift in how we think. And it was really surprising to me also to hear these statistics, because I come from Mexico and this is a thing that we live every single day in our lives since we are like little kids. And for me to come here, I thought it would be different, but to realize that it's more or less the same. It's just that here, I don't feel that I'm going to be like, that I'm going to die by a kind of aggressive behavior from a man. And in my country, this is still something that can happen. So I think it has been some changes that have created a place that is a bit more safe. However, we still have some steps steps we can take to make this problem to go away?
There are no specific laws that protect women from stalking as well. It's just until they actually do something, you're basically living in fear. You know, if you go to the police, they're going to be like, but they haven't done anything. We can't incriminate a person or arrest a person just because they're watching you or because they're following you.
Yeah, and also like because there's no evidence for that. It's like, okay, yeah, show me how that happened. Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything, right? Because
take pictures of a stalker, like what are you supposed to do?
Exactly, totally. So I think we have to create more education for these things to not happen again.
So just to, on a more positive note, there are some initiatives that look like they're working on the right direction. So more nowadays, more women are serving in parliament and in positions of leadership. We see more and more countries establishing femicide as different kind of crime, applying on different kind of penalties. Laws are being reformed to advance the gender equality worldwide. We can see examples that deeply established laws can still be questioned, with the example of Iran, where after this murder of this woman, that more and more women are fighting against this. Worldwide nowadays, more girls are going to school, which sounds simple and plain, but it isn't. For some parts of the world, fewer girls are now forced into early marriage. Coming back to UK, where this podcast is recorded, because as we said previously, and I will repeat this, nothing can change overnight. The intention is different from the action. So we need to challenge more and more people to get into talking about this thing. We need to stop this discussion being a taboo. Get into the discussion, get rid of the fear of talking openly in fear of saying something wrong. If there's good intentions and you're open to educate yourself, nothing is wrong. We can all improve. We can all learn better what it means and how we can make even small steps to make this world more equal for women and men and all genders.